The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We roll through a Thursday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and among other things that intrigued me so much is what's going on with Florida. We had talked earlier in the week with Matt Baker from the Tampa Bay Times about, in among other things, the general state of the Florida program, and I said, for everything I believe I know about Billy Napier and what is ahead for the Florida program, it's like it was almost a void year. And he said, you may be too kind. Like, it was probably a net loss for them. Now, if you're on a hamster wheel in college football, especially the SEC, especially if you're Florida, you've got so much to trade on that you could potentially lose. Like, let's be honest, in football, no disrespect, Eli. Missouri, no, you don't have a whole lot to lose. And there's nobody in state to gobble it up if you do. Florida, they're supposed to be better than this. So most times when it comes to recruiting, you basically – You've got two categories that a program falls into as far as who they're able to attract, who they're able to sign when it comes to levels of athletes. And there is a clear divide in the level of the athlete that you are signing, the level of the recruit, the player. What kind of program are you? Are you a talent program or are you a culture and development program? Right now, Florida looks like they're a program that is out there to, hey, we get special kids into the program. And I know Urban Meyer used to say, wasn't it the 1% of the 1%? And that was it. Fine. Say whatever you want. But Florida, when I said beginning like early 80s with individual little dips like everybody has, they kind of been good for about 40 years. Do you know why? Talent. Florida is not a place where it's about, let's get the kid in here and we'll surround him with our type of environment. You know what's going to happen in 2, 3, 4 years? That's a great message for Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That is not the message for Gainesville. Are you a talent program or are you a culture and development program? I can't have conversation about how Florida, we're going to be the right call. Dabo is the last coach really trying to pull that off. And what's happened to even Clemson? And they're the only one. All of them talk about it. Kirby right now, what's your culture? We have kids who love each other. And he said something along the – I don't know if Dan will remember this, but it was either after the Georgia Tech game or in the regular season, or maybe it was after the SEC championship game, if they beat LSU, maybe it was then, maybe it was at the playoff game, maybe it was after the national title game. There was a sideline reporter who asked Kirby on field about this team and last year and what something. We love each other. And that's true. And if Kirby didn't say this next part, I'll say these next parts myself, and they're all true. We love each other. All right, Kirby said that, I remember. They also will bleed for each other and sweat for each other and try to work for each other so that you don't do what? So you don't let down your teammate. We'll let down ourselves all the time. But Georgia, they love that. All that's real. And you know what that is? That's the 1 5-star defensive end really loving his 5-star linebacker teammate. That is the 4-star offensive tackle who really loves his 4-star tailback teammate. And there are other players like Stetson Bennett, who was not a 4-star or 5-star. So I have the full picture of it. But it's a lot easier to be Dabo and talk culture. You know what really is different at Clemson? I'm like, well, Dabo, no, what? What is? Do tell. what's different here is our culture. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're going there. Now, I'll jump out of the snark and say, you know what Dabo has at Clemson? Really good culture. Do you know what ran out eventually, even at Clemson? Most of the value of, quote, culture. A lot of the value of the culture at Clemson, didn't it seem to run out when you didn't have, like, the first overall pick at quarterback anymore? Or first-round pick at quarterback, which you had for 3 years before that? You know what? We've just had a little dip in culture. No, you went from Trevor Lawrence to DJU. When you went from Kyle Parker, who I always loved, by the way. Ah, man, I liked watching him play quarterback. When you went from Kyle Parker to Taj Boyd, I don't know that the culture was better. I know Taj, my quarterback, was better. When you went from Taj Boyd to, was it straight Taj Boyd to Deshaun? With Cole Stout, like a little side of Cole Stout for a minute? You didn't improve the culture when Deshaun became the starter. You improved the quarterback play. Somehow, even with Kelly Bryant starting for a few weeks, when you went from Deshaun to Trevor Lawrence, do you know what you did? You went 15-0 with essentially a true freshman as your starting quarterback. That culture must have been off the charts that year. Oh, well, okay, yeah, so was the running game and pass defense and kick coverage and everything. Florida's a culture and development program? No. You know what culture I want? 4-3. You know what culture I want? 8.5 sacks. Culture I want? 5.5 yards a carry. Man, I love the culture at my school. Really? Yeah, what was the record? We were 15-0, 14-1, 13-2. We played 15 games. How's the culture at y'all? The culture at my school, it stinks. What was the record? We won 4. Yeah, that is bad culture. Florida is not supposed to be a talent, and it's not supposed to be the kind of program that, I don't want to say is, it's not even fending off. It's just saying, we're going to take a powder. We're going to Thursday versus in-state with Miami. Well, Mario's trying to do his thing, and the recruiting is there and was last year, but Miami's not enough. And UCF and South Florida, same thing. It just really, really surprised me that that was enough to really get Florida again. And that was according to Billy Napier. And again, that was last year. I want to offer some calm. And I want to offer some calm for those concerned about a pending explosion of asterisk in the NFL draft record book. And my calm is, if it happens, it'll be okay. Chuck, what do you mean? I mean, it, Will Levis, for instance, not if or when or anything. Will Levis is going to be taken at 7 overall or 9 overall or 10 overall. It's going to happen. Anthony Richardson, I'll talk with you about that more because he may be 27th overall, maybe 6th. Will Levis is going to be taken at, we'll say, like 9. If after Will Levis gets selected 9th overall in the first round in the draft at the end of April, if both Penn State and Kentucky update their list of players from the program who became first-round picks, does one have more claim to whatever that claim is? First-round quarterbacks out of the University of Kentucky. You don't want to say that. Do you know why? Because you had like 4, maybe. Tim Couch, it would be Will Levis. I don't know. Babe Parilli? Way back in the – I don't know if he's a – I don't have no idea. Randall Cobb's a receiver. And he might have missed a round pick. So, I don't know who gets to claim Will Levis. But whatever that claim is, they both can make it. Probably. Whatever the claim, first-round picks from our program, Penn State, or you know what it is? First-round players from our program. It's probably how you – unless you got 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 – if you say, and we've been playing football since 1892, and now we've had a third player. No, you don't want that. How many first-round picks? if after the draft Penn State updates their list as well, it's okay. I think Ohio State could claim Joe Burrow if they want. That's okay. And I'm not even talking about the mathematics of it. Do you know Will Levis actually spent more time with James Franklin and the Penn State staff than he did in Lexington? He had a redshirt year in 18, was there 19 and 20. And said, Sean Clifford, he may never leave. And he wound up being right. They're leaving at the same time. So I'm not even talking about the math there. What about Burrow? No, Burrow played a lot more at LSU. He was in CBUS for three seasons. Did he wear number 10, I think? I think he was number 10. If Ohio State wanted to update their draft list, and they don't need to pad anything, so understand, like Ohio State, they got seven or eight Heisman trophies. They don't need to pad anything there. But if they want to update their list and say, and Joe Burrow got drafted in the first round, and so he's update the list, that's fine. If you are cocking an eyebrow, the reason I'm bringing part of this up, if you're cocking an eyebrow at any of that, would any of us have an issue if Philadelphia wins next Sunday and Alabama updates its list of Alabama players who also became Super Bowl champions? Would Jalen Hurts as the starting quarterback, would anybody care? Because I know Oklahoma's going to do it. Would anybody care if Alabama said, and look, Jalen Hurts, former Alabama player, that's another former Bama player. And if the real reason that it comes off as, and I promise you, if this does come off as like debating in favor of adding asterisk by what, no, that is not it. I'm not debating. I'm not in favor of adding asterisk. If there are no asterisks added regarding the real school, that's okay too. The reason I'm saying this is it's a book or it's words on a computer screen. Even a place like Wikipedia, like you don't like the words, go online, change them. Will Levis is about to go from career backup to top 10 pick, and that's a tremendous story. If Penn State does or does not list him on their official registry of former Nittany Lions now in the pros, it really is okay. There are plenty of things worthy of invading our thoughts day to day. If Alabama wants to claim Drew Sanders, for instance, because he played there and then went to – he stopped in Fayetteville for a year, and now he's going to – I think Drew Sanders is going to be a first-round pick. If it's not, it's burly part of the second round. If Alabama wants to claim Drew Sanders, that's fine. Do you know what would also be fine with me because of how little import – it's someone's own book or someone's own digital site where the back up the cursor, all right, change that number. If Alabama – this is what I'm saying is okay – it's okay if they want to say, Drew Sanders got drafted. He's one of ours. All right, claim him. Arkansas's like, wait a minute. No. Alabama, claim him. That's okay. Do you know what's also okay with me? If Alabama wants to turn around and say, no, LSU, that's not really where Eli Ricks went. He's Bama, and he got drafted, so we're going to claim him. LSU, I wouldn't care if they did that. Claim whatever you want. It's your book. It's your computer screen. It is. And it really, really, really doesn't matter. And when Jalen Hurts, if he becomes a Super Bowl champion-winning quarterback, there are going to be two places that you look on their list, and former Sooners tied to win the Super Bowl, and it's okay. And if it's an asterisk, or if it's not, or if Bama goes, no, we have a – you didn't finish here. Georgia Tech has a rule with their basketball. I know maybe it's football too. Maybe it's all sports. I know basketball. I was at a senior day one year to end basketball season, and they retired three jerseys that day. They only put one of them up. Told the other two, and when you graduate, come back, we'll put your jersey up. They gave them the honor, and you played so well for 4 years, and so 3 years or 2 years, and where no one will wear your number again. It's not going up until you graduate. I was like, oh, okay, I don't know that they do that now. I don't know that they do it now. But you decide that however you want. It's your book. It's your computer screen. You get to decide that. We break. Continue on to Thursday night.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Way back when cars running on electricity was kind of a new thing. My state would allow an EV to ride in the like high occupancy, like the Zoom lane, the far left lane, to encourage people to get EVs. And I used to see somebody over there going like 55 miles an hour, and you just don't do that in Atlanta. I would go, really? That doesn't seem fair. They kind of get the faster. That was like the ACC Coastal. It was like, really? Y'all get to go to the Charlotte for the ACC title? I'm not trying to be brutal, folks, but there were times that the ACC Coastal was sort of like the fast pass into some place that maybe you didn't belong. That all changes. Divisions are gone, which means that it has been enough for Clemson to beat Florida State once. There's a chance, a fair scenario, where you beat them once. That just means who wears the orange jersey or who wears the white jersey, maybe, because you have to beat them again. Want to welcome on right now from ACC Network. It is Roddy Jones. Roddy, how you doing today, man?
I'm fantastic, Chuck. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. I didn't mean to be – I hope nobody took offense to that. But the ACC Coastal, they've had a tough go of it in the ACC title game, and now the Coastal doesn't exist anymore. So there will not be a four-loss team probably playing in the ACC championship game. I think Mike Norvell in Florida State looks around and says, all right, great timing for that. Is the ACC on a national scale a two-team conference again?
Potentially, I think you certainly could have that this year. Kind of sets up well for it because, you know, Florida State opens up with LSU. LSU is going to be probably, what, a top 10, maybe a top 7 team to start of the year. Florida State probably will be too. So if you do win that game and you're Florida State, you can afford a loss to Clemson in one of the two other matchups and still get in. And then if on the other side you lose that game, you have an opportunity where if you were to lose to LSU and Clemson and then beat Clemson in the championship game, depending on what the rest of the league does, we're having a conversation about a two-loss team getting in. Now, again, I'm still skeptical that that happens, but it could happen. So yeah, it sets up well for the league this season, and I think it's the right time to go to a divisionless format. It's funny because, you know, we talk about the Coastal. Obviously, the Coastal has earned its reputation, but I'm old enough to remember when it was the Atlantic. That was that.
Yeah.
Because that's how it was when I played there. It was us in Virginia Tech and the Coastal, and we usually won the championship. And then the Atlantic is where you had, you know, a 7-win Clemson or a
BC,
a Wake Forest team, Boston College team come out of it. So that thing is cyclical, but it swung the Atlantic's way for a long time.
All right. There are code words in life and sports and all that. I used to hear people talk, you know, describe a quarterback. He's the most electric quarterback in the conference or the most energizing. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want any of that. I want a guy who can deliver the ball downfield and not turn it over. Jordan Travis has gone from a guy who you used all those words that meant he didn't throw the ball really well to I can't wait to see his entire game this fall. One of my favorite players in college football. Talk Jordan Travis a little.
It's been one of my favorite players to cover since, I don't know, I started doing this, just because of his improvement over the course of his time there. And it's one thing to see a guy like a Deshaun Watson or a Trevor Lawrence and cover their career where, like, you know they're going to be a star. And they end up being a star, and you just marvel at their stardom. But Jordan Travis was a guy that his own coaches tried to replace multiple times. Like, I mean, it's very Stetson Bennett-esque. But I think on the other side, he always had these traits that got him back on the field. And for the most part, it was his legs. But 2 years ago, you started to see some of the throws where you're like, man, this guy can really throw it. Like, not just wide-open guys, I mean, fitting in tight windows. And I think he needed to start to believe that, and his coaches needed to really buy into him doing that. And it's been a force multiplier. Like, you look at stats like QBR. He was the best quarterback in the conference last year. Not Drake May, not Riley Leonard, not any of these other guys. It was Jordan Travis. I think his command of the offense, his ability to deliver on time in the pocket, obviously his ability to scramble, it's all tremendous. And I think he's going to have a fantastic season. Like, if you're trying to think of a dark horse Heisman candidate, he's not going to be a favorite, nor should he be. But Florida State is the type of team that could go on a run. And if they do, Jordan Travis will be in New York and could win the Heisman.
Wrapping up, Roddy Jones, ACC Network, and real quick, like QBR in general, like it values fourth quarter more than just, you know, middle of the game. Last thing I want to ask you about, we got about a minute for you here. That Clemson offense, UGLY, tell me it will be better that with the new OC and QB and everything, it will like reflect the talent level more.
It will absolutely be better. He will give Will Shipley the ball. If you don't believe me, just look at what he did with Kendre Miller last year at TCU. They will run the football extremely well. Everything in their offense is connected. They'll run counter five times to the left and then run a screen off of a counter action going back to the right. He'll use tight ends. He'll spread the ball around. It will absolutely be better. And the biggest thing, he will make it easy on Cade Klubnik to be great because that guy has talent, but I thought the game was a little too fast for him last year.
Two linemen in front, a trail lineman to pick up anybody trying to tackle from behind. Man, when a screen comes together, it's beautiful, Roddy. I know you know that as a running back. Appreciate you as always, friend. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Chuck.
ACC Network, ESPN, SiriusXM, all that. That's the missing concept. Screen pass is gorgeous, especially when it's pass rush getting upfield. David, do I have a minute? Okay, I'll X and O here. And we all know that. Well, it's pass rush. Slow down pass rush. What he said there, going back the other way with a screen, oh, my goodness. And the trail lineman, everybody knows, well, the back catches the ball and he's got those two guys or throw whoever in front of him. Mm-mm. Properly defense. Now, you block, you got to find the opposite jersey and go get him. But two guys in front and then kind of a trail lineman who can kind of anybody who's trying to come from behind and chase the running back is the running back. Follow your lineman. You know what that means? It means the running back has to not run full speed. So a defender who's busting tail, hauling buggy, he can reach. So when it's blocked perfectly, man, it's going to work, whoever has the football. It's just a tremendous play. And it will slow down the pass rush as well. And it'll wear out the pass rush. It is such a great play, and you better block it properly because without the proper release, then the defensive front gets too many hits on your quarterback, and that is not what's supposed to happen. Roddy knows that as well. And like I said, Will Shipley doing everything like that with him coming next year, including returning kicks, catching the ball, running it, all of it.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
To the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 2 hours a day. Been doing that since the beginning of the 14th season. Appreciate that blessing. 9 states, 56 sticks. Thank y'all. I have perspective, and I think I can put it aside, but I do have the perspective of being an alum. And officially, I am categorized as a donor at Auburn University. I send a check of $250 every year. It is opulent. I like to think that I put them over the edge for that big television several years ago in the end zone, but maybe now I'm the reason they're cutting the ribbon on that football facility. But so I'm all of that stuff, and I'm a big fan. But I'm also an analyst, and I'll say for any other fan – I'm an observer. It looks more normal. And if you're an Auburn fan, do you know what you'll take? It's February 2nd. There are no games. There aren't games for like 6-7 months. If you're an Auburn fan, do you know what you'll take? You'll take headlines in February that make you look normal. Wrapping up a pretty good recruiting class through the portal. That looks normal for Auburn. Getting a recruit, a commitment for next year's class, and a big in-state commitment for 2 years from now for Auburn, that's normal. What's not normal is looking at the top 10 in-state and seeing Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, Bama, and not only see – you don't see Bama more because they weren't as interested in some of those kids. I think an Auburn fan will take normal. Want to welcome on right now college channel manager at Locked On Network, of course, host of the Locked On Auburn podcast, Zach Blackerby. How you doing today, Zach?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Yeah, always fun to cover new commitments, even if they're as far ahead as 2025, which didn't seem like a real year until a few months ago. But yeah, man, always a pleasure to be on with you.
Let's talk about putting a bow, potentially, the most part, on at least the high school portion, maybe Jeremiah Cobb, who was a big recruit out of the Montgomery area. There were a lot of ton of elite recruits out of Montgomery. Jeremiah Cobb was the highest-ranked offensive recruit in the class. He has signed his letter of intent now. What may Auburn have in him?
I think he's a special player that can do so many different things at different levels of the offense. I think he's obviously a gifted runner. I think he's very good with the ball in his hands, both behind the line of scrimmage and once in the open field. I mean, his breakaway speed is elite, and he had the opportunity to break away from a lot of defenses during his time playing at Montgomery Catholic, but also in the passing game. And I think that's something Auburn's probably going to need more of with Hugh Freeze. I think every Auburn fan's hoping that, and we'll probably see that with Jarquez Hunter this season. But he's good at as far as just in the screen game, as far as, you know, you can motion him out into the slot if you need to. And also, I think he's going to develop, maybe not as a freshman, just because it's so hard to do early in your college career as a running back. But I think he's going to be a really solid guy when it comes to the blitz pickup, too. He's got the size to be able to do that. So he makes your offense better as soon as he steps on the field. There's no question about it.
I promise you, on February 2nd, 2023, we're not going to talk about what a commitment for 24 means because, I mean, who knows where the kid actually winds up. So I'll say that Auburn got a commitment from a kid for next year from Anniston. Good for Auburn. The overall question I have is, how are the relationships in state? How have those gone as far as being rebuilt since Coach Freeze came on into November, whenever it was? Because those relationships just weren't there, and it really hurt Auburn in this year's high school recruiting.
There's no question about it, and Hugh Freeze gets it. And he gets it, you know, especially with the schools in his backyard. If he's got an hour and a half of free time, which probably isn't often, I mean, he's driving over to Central Phoenix City just to kind of poke his head over there. I mean, they put out 4 and 5 stars left and right. And Auburn's had really bad luck winning recruiting battles in Phoenix City. And, you know, that's a school – that should be a pipeline for Auburn, and it hasn't been. And Hugh Freeze is trying to change that. And you do it with relationships. And even, you know, there's a local restaurant that was rented out like a few weeks after he was hired, and they were doing an Alabama coaches luncheon thing. And he and Carnell Williams rolled up, and they got limos rented out so we could pull up and roll in like a rock star. The place went crazy. They were fanboying over Hugh Freeze and Carnell Williams. And it's just stuff like that. When all those guys left, I'm just kind of thinking, like, this is the stuff that we've got to do to get Auburn back on the map, recruiting top 10 classes consistently year in and year out. And he's willing to do the work. He's willing to do the work with all of that. He's recruiting every second that he possibly can. And I think one of the signs of that is he's already looking to 2025. And you got a guy in Malik Autry who's an Opelika kid. He's already 6'6 and 280-something pounds. As a kid that's currently a sophomore in high school, you take that. You take that every single bit of it. But the fact that it's in your backyard, I think it only elevates the importance of what a commitment like that could potentially mean for Hugh Freeze and for Auburn. So yeah, he's all in. He's all in on building his relationships, and he sees how important it is.
Let's talk about Auburn's projected depth chart at quarterback. Robbie Ashford, he played a lot of football last year for a kid who hadn't even taken a meaningful snap in about 3 years almost. If you want to talk Robbie Ashford, that's fine, but kind of flesh out what happens behind him on that depth chart.
I guess you got to think right now it's Robbie Ashford, 1, TJ Finley, 2, Alden Garner, 3, the talented redshirt freshman. And that's pretty much it going into spring. Hank Brown, who is he was a former Liberty commit. He followed Hugh Freeze over from Liberty to Auburn. He'll be here in the summer. He's finishing up his high school stuff. So that's pretty much what you got right now. A lot of people are expecting TJ Finley to grad transfer after spring, he'll be all graduated up, and so he'll get that another free transfer in there since he already used his transfer earlier in his career when he came to Auburn from LSU. But it's a little interesting because, you know, Hugh Freeze's messaging has been pretty consistent. I talked to him earlier in the week about this in Mobile after the Tuesday practice. And I asked about his quarterback. And he keeps saying when he's asked about his quarterbacks that the room has to grow up. And so I kind of pressed him on. I was like, what does that mean, coach? He keeps saying that, but what does that mean? He's like, I don't really know because I haven't really gotten a chance to get in there and know who they are as players because he hasn't been able to, like, be next to him while they're actually practicing yet due to limitations. But he'll get that, obviously, in a few weeks in spring when that starts on the 27th of this month. And so we'll see exactly what it means. But, you know, another thing that he's consistently saying is, you know, what happened in the past doesn't matter anymore. Everybody's got a clean slate. And to me, that hurts Robbie if that's true. Because look at it. When it was a true battle last fall, different coaching staff, different scheme, different offense, so many different variables are changing. But, like, TJ Finley won that job. And so we'll see if Hugh Freeze wants to keep TJ Finley around, because if TJ Finley doesn't feel like he has a shot, he's out of there. But I think regardless, they're going to add another quarterback through the portal. That May 1 through May 15 window, I think it could be just another backup depth piece. I also think if everything falls the way Hugh Freeze wants it to, I think he could be Auburn's potential starter in 2023.
Last thing I want to ask you, what is maybe the perfect scenario for Jarquez Hunter? Like, what the usage, the perfect usage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you use him on all three downs consistently, and you spell him every now and then for Brian Battee, the transfer from USF.
Oh, plow horse, okay.
I think Jarquez Hunter can be, I don't know, 1,500 yards from scrimmage. I mean, when you talk about maybe 1,200 rushing yards, 300 or 400 receiving yards, I don't think that's that crazy. Because if you look at what his average was and you scale it out to, like, the full, like, okay, full carries for a workhorse back in the SEC, he's well above average as far as yards per touch and yards per carry and obviously, you know, yards per reception. Yeah. And so, you know, does that change when his usage goes up? It probably will, right? I mean, that's just kind of how numbers work. But I still think a 1,500-yard from scrimmage type season is realistic for Jarquez Hunter.
You know, it's interesting because last summer at Media Days, I'd asked somebody, because Tank was there, and I'd asked somebody about Tank, somebody in the media, about being a special back or whatever. And he's like, Tank's a really good back. He's no more special than Jarquez. And I was like, I wasn't even talking about Jarquez. I was like, that's really, really interesting insight from somebody who's, you know, around the team as much as you can be in the media, that I wasn't even talking about Jarquez. That's pretty impressive review, and you don't sound like you're shocked to hear something like that.
I'm not. And look, statistically, when Jarquez Hunter was in the game, Auburn's offense was better than when it was Tank. And there are different things that go into that, right? I mean, the defense is going to defend you differently, but I think Jarquez Hunter was able to do more. And some people talk about, well, you know, Jarquez Hunter got more outside calls than Tank did. And I actually don't think that that's really that true. It may be close, but, like, it's not like it's night and day difference. Like, Jarquez only got outside zones and Tank got dives up the middle, and that's ridiculous. That wouldn't even make sense from a play calling standpoint, even when you factor in those Brian Harsin kind of behind the offense there. It still doesn't even make sense. So, yeah, I think Jarquez Hunter's special. I think he's really, really special. And you got to keep him on the field on third down because he's so good at blitz pickup. They asked him to do that as a freshman. He's gotten better and better. He's just so willing as a teammate to do whatever it takes for you to kind of move the sticks and for the offense to stay on the field. So I'm not shocked at that at all. I think Jarquez Hunter may be one of the better offensive players in the SEC this year if given the shot. And look, I mean, Auburn's offensive line was the reason Tank's numbers weren't great this past season. I think everybody can agree to that. But, and I'm not saying Auburn's offensive line is going to be great, but I do think it's going to be better. I mean, you look at the four, I think there's going to be four new guys that are starting on Auburn's offensive line. I think the only returning starter, he really wasn't even a starter a year ago, is, you know, a guy that they've switched from offensive line to defensive line, offensive line to defensive line. He's finally settling in at offensive line. I'll probably start at the left guard spot. But, you know, you talk about the number one JUCO tackle in the 2023 class is Xavier Miller. He was formerly committed to Ole Miss, followed Jake Thornton, the offensive line coach from Ole Miss to Auburn. And then two of the top tackle transfers that were available through the portal.
Yep.
And you know, Western Kentucky's Connor Britton and Tulsa's Dylan Wade.
Dylan Wade.
I think both those guys could start at tackle. And you got one of the most experienced centers, Avery Jones, coming from East Carolina. So, I mean, there's a lot of snaps that you've inherited. And I just think the line as a unit just takes a big step forward. And that's obviously going to be good for Jarquez Hunter.
All right, folks, I told you, Locked On Auburn. He's auburndaily.com. Folks, that's Sports Illustrated. It's Zach Blackerby. Does a great job what he does. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to come on, guys.
At Z Blackerby on Twitter. But, again, Auburn Daily, and just a wonderful, wonderful turn of events there if you're an Auburn fan, that they brought in grown men. He mentioned the kid from ECU, the very, very large human from ECU, that it's an offensive line. This is not always what you want to do, but plug and play. And when so much – credit Auburn over the last, I'll say, 3 years, when player mobility really became a thing, the one area that at least I kind of gave him a fighting chance on some Saturdays sometimes was – and then even injuries got in there, but – we got these linemen coming back up front. Were they good? Well, they were okay enough, but they're coming back. And then they came back again, and then they came back one more year in 2022, but it still never really clicked, and they never became anything even close to, like, dominant. No. They needed to be consistent and strong and blast open some holes and have big games against opponents other than Alabama State or A&M, whoever, Akron. Can't be the extent of it. But they were experienced, and they'd been there for a long time. Wasn't even transfers. Now what it is, you go out and get grown men, and you put them in there. And so Auburn had been, for whatever reason, been able to keep a lot of these kids from on the offensive line in the program for the fifth year and even the sixth year, and still it never really was a breakthrough. All right, we're going to break. Come back. Wrap up on this Thursday next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
The explanation that was told to me was that it wasn't forcible enough. I then asked to speak with the head of the officials, Steve Shaw. He explained to me that the hit didn't go right to Marvin's head, that it was not a force, or it wasn't a shot right on his head. It was to the shoulder. I completely disagree with that, but that was the decision that was made, and those are the two explanations I was given.
Yeah, Ryan Day, Ohio State head coach. I will step outside the situation. I was there, happened kind of right in front of me. And they moved everything in the brand new stadium to the corner of the end zone, really, the press box. The radio and TV booths are all the way around. But and so it's kind of like, oh, he hit the kid. I think my opinion after watching live, I was like, oh my gosh. And then I saw the replay. I was like, I don't think that was targeting. Now, that's as much, and I looked at it a couple of times. I was like, oh, I don't think that was targeting. I was going to be okay if they left it however. That was Ryan Day talking just in general press conference, just media around. So he's talking about the hit from Georgia in the playoff game to Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And so it was originally called targeting, and then the game was stopped, and they were like, yeah, not targeting. I was like, I was going to be okay with whatever they kept it as, or if they flipped it. He's repping his kid, and he's supposed to. There are times you see a coach who emotionally is trying to win a call. So in a game, I don't know, challenge that. And you're like, yeah. But then you see the replay and you're like, oh, no, you're going to lose that challenge. when he does that, most times he's trying to win the challenge because he thinks, my kid, we got done wrong. We're supposed to call that challenge. When it's February 2nd, the game was December 31st, that's him repping his kid. So that's Ryan Day. And he's doing what you're supposed to. All the time, you rep your kid. You rep your assistant coach, whatever it is. And then you try to handle it however you got to handle it. That's one thing that I've noticed, that there were a couple of examples where I had heard folks, you got to handle that behind closed doors. And just in a couple of, because I'd said that myself. And so I had seen that so many times in my life where folks should have handled that behind closed doors. I was like, yeah. Then there are times I'm on the radio going, handle that behind closed doors. Contract negotiations, firing a guy, like things that should be handled behind closed doors. Then twice in the space of about 30 days, this is 10 years ago, I heard commentary of that should have been handled behind closed doors. And for these two, literally within a few weeks of each other, for both of them, I knew it had been handled behind closed doors like five times. And so the GM coming out, or the head coach, or the teammate, or the ex-wife, or whoever it was coming out, do you know what, a lot of times when we say, hey, you got to keep that behind closed doors. Did you see Priscilla Presley, what's going on right now? I've said the biggest redneck thing ever. They don't do this in California. They don't do this in Milwaukee. You know, biggest redneck arguing in the front yard. Priscilla Presley's arguing in the front yard now. Did you see she's suing her grandkids over the will? Come on. It is the worst thing possible. But sometimes that's where it goes. Dan, how's your Thursday?
You know, I took kind of the same tack that you just did, and I went a little bit different in terms of my opinion of Ryan Day and what he said, is that you're seeing Exhibit A of why, A, coaches do not speak out of turn in terms of speaking out of coach speak, and B, why they instruct their players to handle the media the way that they do, which then, of course, for guys like me and you, we don't hear a lot from players on here because, for the most part, let's call it what it is. Players are playing off a script, and it's boring. Hey, you know, what do you need to do next year to get better? Oh, I just need to improve. What does that mean? I just need to improve. That is not an answer, but that's what we get from players, and that's how it all goes. Because what it really comes down to is this is all about locker room culture. And the locker room culture in football is don't distract from the team. Now, something that you say on February the 1st is not going to distract from the team, because the team right now, what are you worried about? You're worried about going to class. You're worried about trying to make weight. You're worried about conditioning. You're worried about weightlifting, all that kind of stuff. There's no games to be won or lost right now. But let me take you back to a couple of years ago. Remember when Alejandro Villanueva went out and stood for the national anthem? And then the next day was almost through his teeth apologizing for doing it because he didn't want to be a distraction to the team. So
offensive lineman?
Yes, yeah. Who was a former serviceman himself.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just kind of Exhibit A of, you know, man, I really wish that coaches and players, they would say things. Man, you know, nobody says anything. I mean, Matt Ryan once in an interview once said, yeah, I don't say anything because I know anything I say is going to be used against me, so I'm intentionally boring for that reason. Now, he kind of said the quiet part out loud, but again, I appreciate, you know, Ryan Day saying that. He was asked a question. He, as a matter of fact, looked to his SID to his right and asked, you know, can I go into this? And the SID said, yeah, go ahead. And he just said what he said. He said, hey, look, I called the head of officials. I had a conversation with three different people. They told me it wasn't targeting. That's why it was picked up. And I would also suspect this is not going to be talked about much longer because he answered the question truthfully, which can be a lesson to people of, hey, don't make a story larger than it needs to be. Just address it. And when you address it, it's kind of one of those things where everybody looks around and says, that was kind of boring.
Wraps it up for this Thursday. Dan? Fantastic commentary. Appreciate all the guests, all of it. David on the ones and twos, working his magic. Thank you to all the guests who came on. Thank you to everybody who was listening. Comes here each day, 2 hours of college football conversations, spread it out all across the footprint. Mostly southern states and wherever it is you got the app. Thank you for coming here. Give me a 22-hour break. Going to recharge the batteries. Going to be back this time tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.